Monday last week, I lost my cell phone for 12 hours. It's the worst thing that happened, and it's the best thing that happened. I'm not joking. The only thing I was concerned was my appointments, but the rest I could care less. I felt so liberated. I said, I'm going to go back to just a regular track phone. Of course, next morning when the staff came, they said, there's no job more important than finding my phone. So they were all looking for my phone. Found it, and life became hell again. How often have you felt frustrated by another person on the cell phone? Right? I am that person. In a restaurant, in a public place, even at home or in church. How often have you wished that someone would just get off the phone? And by the way, this is not just young people. Don't blame teenagers. It's everybody. I was with somebody for dinner once, and the other person kept answering all the texts. And I thought that was very rude. Have we forgotten basic hospitality? So I find today's readings very fascinating. Not because it's scripture, but there's something very attractive about it. Just people being there for each other. I'm interpreting today's readings from the perspective of hospitality. Abraham had no idea that the three strangers at the entrance to his tent was God himself. In fact, he had no idea who they were, just strangers. Yet, Abraham bathes them with his immense hospitality. The details the reading gives about how he prepared and the meal for them makes me wish that I was that stranger. I would have loved to have been welcomed by Abraham. The gospel reading, some mixed bag. While Martha is rebuked for her distraction, Mary's attentiveness is praised. So I just want to draw some lessons from all of this. Three of them. First of all, I want to talk about prayer as hospitality. Prayer as hospitality. Let's reflect on this. The time we set aside for prayer. The kind of attention we give to God when we pray. Our commitment to spending time with God in prayer. All these can be acts of hospitality. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus is a powerful image of prayer. Just sitting at his feet. I like that image. I imagine myself that way. I do that sometimes. No distractions, no anxieties, no hurry. How often we come to church and we're in a hurry to get out. Sometimes I give 20 minutes to God, it's quality time, and then I say, well, that should make you happy, right? It's 20 minutes. But Mary, it's a different image. No distractions, no hurry, no anxiety, just sitting there at the feet of the Lord. In spite of her sister buzzing around her like a bee, she sat there at the feet of Jesus. Now Martha did not love Jesus any less. Jesus did not rebuke her because she was a bad person or because she did not love Jesus enough or she was doing something wrong. In fact, Martha was being hospitable in a different way. Jesus' complaint against her was that she was distracted. The distraction, that is what got Jesus. So the question I ask myself is, are we too a distracted generation? Are we too a distracted people, especially when it comes to our relationship with God? Could we not wait for Mass to be over and then answer our texts? Check our messages? Do we have to wait? Okay, Mass is about to start. There are churches that have to turn your cell phones off. Do we get so busy that we have no time for God? It's God who created time. It's God who created work. It's God who gives life, and we get so busy that we have no time for God. Are we in a hurry when we come before God, either in prayer or for Sunday worship? Does God feel welcome in our tent like God did at Abraham's tent? Does God feel pampered in my home? Does God get time to sit and talk with us like Jesus did with Mary? Or before God even says something, we're gone. So this week, find ways to be hospitable to God. Find ways to be hospitable to God. Secondly, hospitality as a way of meeting God. Now folks, these are very complex times that we live in, huh? Hospitality can be very risky. You remember when, I'm 50, it's not that like I'm aged, but yet the way I grew up as a child is very different than how children have to be brought up today, have to be. When we were kids, there was no strangers. Today we have to teach our children to be careful around strangers, because these are complex times. Especially with terrorism and gun violence being so rampant, there is a general sense of mistrust in society. Yet, I do not want us to miss the importance of today's first reading. The strangers at Abraham's door was God, those three people. Finally, when the story ends, it's the Lord who spoke to Abraham. The strangers was God. My fear is that our children will not know the meaning of welcoming a stranger. My fear is that the general attitude in which we have to bring up our children is suspicion. The entire Christian story revolves around stranger. Jesus came to us as a baby. He was a stranger. Nobody knew him. On the road to Emmaus, when the people were talking, Jesus came as a stranger. On the cross, how many people recognized him? He died a stranger. So the entire Christian story revolves around welcoming strangers, that God comes to us as a stranger. Now, I don't have any solutions to the complex situation that we are in. I can't tell you, parents, don't worry about strangers. Don't teach your children not to be careful around strangers. Maybe, what we can do is that we make a church and a parish community a place where everybody feels welcome and safe. At least we can do that, right? When we come together, everybody, there should be no strangers here. We as a Christian community can make strangers feel welcome and safe. So the church communities have a very special role in today's world to welcome the stranger. And thirdly, I want to talk about hospitality as diversity. Perhaps more problematic than the question of strangers is the question of diversity. The spate of religious violence the world over and the prevalence of racial violence in our country has made our world just so sad. Today, three more police officers shot in Louisiana, dead. I don't know where we're going. And what does that make us? It makes us very xenophobic. We're afraid of the other. We're afraid of the other. And then very divided, racially, economically, religiously, very, very, very divided. See, I did my entire doctoral dissertation on globalization. And globalization was supposed to make the entire world a global village. Because people travel so quickly, they can go from one place to the other. We were getting to know parts of the world that we did not know about. And people were supposed to look at this world and the people in the world and love it. Because diversity is beautiful. But the opposite is happening. The United Kingdom just voted to exit the European Union. They want to be by themselves. Relationships are breaking down. People are afraid of the other. Let's do by ourselves. We don't need the other. I recently read on BBC that there is a movement in Texas to secede from the United States. There is a movement. Muslims are suspect of the West. The West is suspect of the Middle East, China and Russia. Russia and China are problems for the West, and the list goes on. And the racial violence in the country makes this also a domestic issue. Americans are killing Americans. More Americans killed each other than terrorists killed us. Meanwhile, something fabulous is happening in Dayton. In our own city, we have refugees coming from countries in Africa, parts of the Middle East, and immigrants from the world over. I'm one of them. And in this context, understanding hospitality as diversity is crucial. Understanding hospitality as diversity is crucial. Folks, God is not white. God is not black. God is not brown. God's language is not English or French or Arabic or Latin. God is not American or Indian or Chinese or Mexican. God is not male or female. Human beings in their totality, think about the entire world. Think about the entire world, every country, every person who lives on the face of the earth. Think about every person. We all together express the diversity of God, who God is, because we are all made in God's image and likeness. If you want to know what God is like, look at the entire world, every person in it. That is what God is like. Hospitality means that we remain open to the diversity of the world because diversity is divine. Exclusiveness, that's evil because that's not God. Diversity is divine. It tells us who God is. So this week, in this very violent, crazy world, find ways to welcome diversity. Find ways to welcome diversity. Who knows? Like Abraham, we might just meet God. people of God said.